what I hear, you can get a great night's sleep wearing the, with the pillow.
We have them. It's wonderful.
Wonderful.
I've used it for a number of years, and it's wonderful. It's machine washable and dryable.
Ooh.
Just like you said on TV.
Well, we've got less than 2 weeks to order them. Software, we talked about it. We haven't done it yet. But I'd like you to consider the humor of this, because it says in here, love works no ill to his neighbor.
You're all good now.
All right, good? Okay.
There we go.
All right, good. Well, for those that are listening, we're in Romans chapter 13.
Speaker went on.
And we just finished reading Romans 8, 9, and 10. And I was just making a comment here on verse 10, where it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. And just hearing, there's a guy called Mike Lindell who has a company called My Pillows.
My Pillow.
Huh?
You said pillows.
My Pillows.
Just singular.
Singular.
Oh, singular. My Pillow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, if I owned any, it would be pillows, okay? One for Jill, one for me. Now, the little humor in this, okay? There are 19 companies boycotting My Pillow. 19. I'm surprised at some of them. Some of them I can figure out, like Dollar General. That's controlled by the Chinese.
I know. Kohl's is
boycotting. Kohl's. Okay. JCPenney. Now, just so you know, JCPenney was a Christian, and he's looking down from heaven, and he's just having a bad day. Before he died, he said, you know, I lived my entire Christian life, and I did nothing for the Lord. And here he's got a great company, and it's antichrist as can be right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, Kroger's. I was surprised on hearing Kroger's. Bed Bath & Beyond. These companies are boycotting him because his stand, as far as in the being a Republican, being a Christian. This has never happened in American history, guys. America was the land where there's brotherly love. Now, just listen to the humor on this. Okay? Because those guys are far left. Here's a guy giving you a pillow for comfort. Therefore, anyone that's with Mike Lindell gets to sleep comfortably. But if you're with the left, you have to sleep on a hard rock. Okay? Look at the humor of that. These companies are punishing the people that come to their stores. And if you take a look at the far left, look at the companies they now represent overseas in Cuba, North Korea, China. Look at all these companies that they are armed with, and they're forcing their people to not live in comfort. Love works no ill to his neighbor. And what are these stupid companies doing? Working ill to the people that they're taking their cash from.
Yeah.
Fascinating. And that's probably just the tip of the iceberg. But keep that in mind. You're following the Lord, love works no ill to his neighbor. Now, when we get into verse 8 here, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Okay, verse 8 here is going back again to Romans 13:1. When we go back to Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Guys, when it says here, owe no man anything, it's talking about these political governments that God has ordained and set up all across the world. We still feel blessed living in this country. But there are a lot of other Christians have to live under the other systems, living under communism. Doug. Whoever you are, the guy that parked crooked in the parking lot. Go ahead.
We had a fighting moment there, but anyhow.
Well, I was thinking of that cartoon that said, forget the dog, beware of Doug.
Come on, Mike.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it boils down to where when it says, "Oh, no man, nothing." I think that's more like the banksters, and it does have to do with the government, but it also has to do with these banks where they're lording over you, and you're subject to them and you're not subject to your creator. You know, you're
correct.
You're given less money to the Lord's ministry if you owe a lot of money to whoever you owe it to.
Yes. Well, when you take a look at the couple of verses just above that, that's a reference to tribute for verse 6 and 7. For this cause pay ye tribute also. So in other words, you pay the tribute, don't fall behind on what you have to pay to them. Don't owe them any more than what they're asking for. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. In other words, don't owe them any more than whatever dues you owe. I have to pay taxes for the house. Okay, so I don't want to fall behind. Whatever is due them, do. Pretty soon I've got to pay state tax, city tax, and federal tax. Okay, don't fall behind. Don't owe them any more. Just get it paid off and you just keep on going. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Therefore, owe no man anything. That's political in that aspect. For he that owe no man anything, what? But to love one another. And that's the whole key to these verses. Whether you're living under communism, whether you're living under fascism, whatever system you're living under, owe no man anything. But what? Love. You owe them the debt of love. And where's that found at? In the gospel of Christ. Let's take a look at, let's someone find 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21.
I have it. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21.
Yeah, 5, 14 to 21.
For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
Is it 17 or 19?
21.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, yeah, that's fine.
And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Amen.
That is what the Christian gospel is all about, is Christ living in us, and us trying to share the love of God with someone else to help them come to know the Lord. Oh, no man anything, what? But love. And that is what we're supposed to share with them. A little more humor. You know, we're supposed to be walking with the Lord. And as we walk with the Lord, we share the gospel with different people. And I've had fun down through the years, and I could probably sit down with you for a couple hours to share with you story after story after story of sharing the love of God with different people. Some good and some bad. But when we're serving the Lord, it doesn't matter what government that you're living under, all right? We're still supposed to share the love of God. And the same way a government operates is the same way we come across with different people. And different people operate in the same manner as what a government does. We like to all think that we're here for liberty and we're conservatives, but you got people in America that are communists living under a free system.
Yes.
And we have to share the gospel with them just as much as anybody else. This is a country founded by the Lord with the gospel of Christ, but yet we still need to share the gospel with atheists, those who don't want to believe anything whatsoever. And I just finished off a new track. that shows pi as the secret to the universe, God's symbol. And it's actually God's signature on the universe. And maybe some atheists will get a hold of it and understand, you know, that they need Christ as their Savior, because the symbol of pi is everywhere. And so we hope to have those printed up in the next couple weeks and be able to share them with you. But at home, as far as talking about walking with the Lord, I have this little Mickey Mouse toy. And he's got the, which one with the sword?
Oh, and what, like the...
It looks like a...
I'm not sure what you'd call it.
You mean the scissors?
Yeah.
Oh, the little tailor?
Yeah, the little tailor guy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, apparently, unfortunately, you guys, he fell off my table. And I found him, and it took me a little while, but both his legs broke off.
Aww.
That's real sad.
That's real sad. Now, you're gonna, this, the sad part of this is he was defeated.
Ha.
He was defeated. Now, here's the deeper spiritual truth in that, okay? When are we defeated? When we don't walk with the Lord.
Amen.
There are so many scriptures. One of my favorites is Colossians, I think it's 2:6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, salvation. As you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you receive him? You received him by faith. How do you walk in him? You walk in him by faith. And when you don't walk with the Lord, you're defeated. Fascinating. I'm working on a Bible study on that, which will eventually make a good sermon. But the word walk all the way through Scripture. Abraham, wherever you walk at, it's yours. It's yours. You can have it. All right? So what happened if he didn't walk? Zap. If you would have taken it expounded even further, there was a king. And I believe Elijah said to him, the arrows of victory. Shoot as many as you can. And he only shot three. The Lord said, you should have, you know, Elijah said, you should have shot five or six. But now you're only going to defeat your enemy three times. Same thing as walking. That's hearing the word of God and obeying it. Let's not try to lead defeated lives. Whatever system of government you're under, whatever type of marriage you may be under, wherever you're living at, determine in your heart, I'm going to stay walking with the Lord. I'm going to owe no man anything but love. And find out the secret of the word love is the word give. Give. I'm sure everyone in here can quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Johnny.
Just had an interesting thought on it. Being reminded of that story there about the arrows.
Yes.
I venture to say that I think that seems to prove to me that God knows more than just what will happen. He also knows what could have happened.
Yes.
Because he just said there, because I remember how it said is, you should have done five or six, or then had you defeated them, you would have defeated them until they were gone.
Correct.
But now you will only defeat them thrice.
Well, I have to agree with you 100% there, because I'm having such fun right now as I read the scriptures. And I can look back in my life and I can see where, if I would have spent the time I'm spending now in the scriptures, what could have been. What could have been. I can't live there now. I have to live where I'm at now, and encourage you guys that are younger, spend more time in the book. You may not understand it. That's why we're supposed to fellowship. BBF here is Bible Believers Fellowship. It's okay for us to talk about the weather and talk about politics and stuff like that. But let's spend a little bit of time when we fellowship. What did you find in the book this week?
That's going to be part of what we're studying this morning at 11 o'clock, because I'll repeat this so you all get a rerun. But it's difficult to talk to Christians about the Bible because you have the mystics over here who want to take you into the deep waters of Narnia or whatever. I don't mean that in a bad way. The movie's fine, but it's not.
Oh, no, I understand.
Then
I understand.
You go to the other side where you can talk about anything in the Bible and they're clueless. They have no idea what you're talking about.
Correct.
And find somebody in the middle who sticks to the words and doesn't get all weird, but also to find somebody who has some basic knowledge. It's really difficult. 30 years, 31, 2 years, however long he's a Christian now. It's been very, Jenny and I talk all the time, thankfully, but we've talked, we're like, you can't have this conversation with most Christians.
Most
of them don't know the book well enough to talk about it, but then, then others, Doug and I were talking about how all these people want to spend all their time on all this crazy stuff and on YouTube getting into this wild stuff and everything. And just to talk about the Bible is difficult.
Yeah, well, I was, I'm really zipping through it, if you want to call it that, at a faster pace than I ever have in my life. But I always cringe, I think it's in 2 Kings, I always cringe on that story about the guy that was supposed to come and make a pronouncement against the altar at Dan.
The unnamed prophet?
Yeah, and the Lord said, don't look back, make a beeline, get out of there. He said the same thing to the wise men. Don't go the same way he came. Get out of there. Go. Zip. Get out. And what does this guy do? A false prophet comes to him.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's what's sad about this false prophet. At one point, he actually preaches the real word of God. Now, look at all those phony Bibles out there today. When you talk about Christians don't know the Bible, you can't. They're going to bring lions into your life. They're going to bring lions, but they're going to get ate up at some point. Because they don't know the truth. That false prophet didn't know the difference between truth and falseness until after he saw that guy get ate. Now, did his life change? Word of God does not tell us.
Think how simple that was, though. God told him not to go back the same way you came.
Yeah.
Don't stop at anybody's house. Don't eat anything. When the other guy came and said, an angel came to me and told me this, well, sorry, but God knows where I'm at. If he wants to change his word, he'll come to me and tell me.
That's right.
We've got the Bible.
Yeah.
And anybody contradicts the Bible, we know to ignore them, but people don't.
Oh, absolutely. Now, if I had to make a guess, that angel could have been Moroni.
Could have been.
Okay. Now, here's something else about that unnamed prophet that blew me away. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I read through this, but maybe I'm sleeping, thinking something else, but as soon as that prophet told him what God was going to do to him, he finished eating his hamburger and fries, finished off his milkshake, and then he went.
Yeah, kept eating.
Yeah, total disobedience. He continued being disobedient.
Reminds you why I have his last meal.
Yeah.
He's already
toast. For those of you that are really astute Bible believers, the milkshake and the hamburger was an NIV, okay? We just have a little bit of fun there. Okay. Sorry about that. That's twice in a row. I didn't mean to do that. Okay, well, let's take a look again. One of the things that the law serves, no man anything, again, reflecting on the law, one of the things that it does, it purifies our motives. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. It purifies our motives. Who's got that one? 1 Peter chapter 1.
I'll move it. 1 Peter chapter 1.
Yeah, 22 to 25. Look at that. The motives are being purified.
25. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Amen. How about that? Again, when we go back to verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another. And here it is, love one another. So we're right in the middle of the pure word of God. And we're born of the word of God. And it's while the gospel is preached. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let's take a look at Matthew 5, verses 44 to 48. Okay, who's got that one? Okay, go ahead.
45, right?
Yeah, 44.
Oh, 44.
Yeah, 44 to 48 to the end.
But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Amen. Wow. Loving your enemies. Look, it doesn't matter what system of government you're under. You're going to have enemies anywhere, everywhere. And as you read the Word of God and as you live life, you know enemies can be in your family. Unfortunately, enemies can be in the church. Enemies can be anywhere. And as we stay under the law, the only thing we're to owe is to love. Love, love, love. And that includes the enemies. And let's take a look at...
Before you move on, though, explain what you mean by love your enemies. Because most Christians think that means enabling them.
Oh, I know exactly where you're going with that. Yeah. Unfortunately, on almost all the door marquees of all the churches, all are welcome. The guys study the book, all are not welcome. The church is only for Christians. And what it is, by when they say all is welcome, they're saying, go ahead, come and be a sinner and remain a sinner. And that's not love. That's hate.
That's right.
Because you're sending them to hell with the idea that you can stay in your sin and go to heaven and unless you come to Christ. And guys, over and over and over, our offering to God for our sins is the blood of Christ. We have... not by works which we do, not by anything we do. He's given us the blood, and the blood is offered, and our sins are put on the blood. Johnny.
I just thought of what you could replace that phrase with that would be more biblical.
Okay.
You would replace it with, all can be forgiven.
Yes, Johnny, you're excellent. All can be forgiven. I like that.
And clarify that.
You're hired.
All are welcome to come in and be a part of the service, but you're welcome to hear the truth.
Yeah.
You're not welcome to come in and then have us placate your sin, which is happening all these inclusive churches and diverse churches where they go in and they never are confronted with their sin.
Right.
So, and I just want to make sure everybody, we don't shut anybody out.
Correct.
But they're welcome to come in and hear the preaching of the word without edit.
Without end. Exactly. Yeah, that's excellent. Okay, so what does it mean to love your enemies? Okay, if they are thirsty, give them a cup of water.
Yeah.
Okay, now, if you want to upgrade it, take them to Horton's and get them a cup of coffee.
We don't even have to take them there. We offer it right here.
Oh, amen.
Tea.
That's if you're out. That's out if you're in the mission field.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Okay.
I'm talking about them being welcome here.
Yeah.
It'd be the worst sinner in the county. We'd offer them coffee, tea, water,
snacks,
whatever, and they're free to stay, but they have to hear the word.
Have to hear the word. You know, there's a charity mission downtown. And what do they do? They share with them food for
right.
those that are homeless down there and those that are hungry. But they have to hear the gospel.
That's right.
Yeah,
all right? So, yes.
Your sign says it all right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Be willing to tell them
the truth.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and the truth can hurt.
Yeah.
But if we keep sharing them that we care about them, all right? In other words, we're just not going to give you a sandwich and we're done with you. You know, we're going to communicate with you and try to bring you to the Lord. Doug.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You know.
According to Jesus.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Heresy. Heresy. Doug, Jesus is the way, the truth.
He was quoting Jesus.
Oh, he was quoting him. Okay. You can, we'll allow that.
Something we point out that, you know, when you come in, you hear the word, it's heart surgery going on.
Yeah.
How many of you know somebody's had heart surgery?
No.
It wasn't. There was some pain involved.
Yeah.
There was some cutting involved. There was some bleeding involved.
Yeah.
And that's what's missing from the pulpits today, like we talked about Wednesday. Max Lucado apologizing for wounding.
Yeah.
If you're going to do heart surgery, you have to do some wounding in order to have a heart transplant. This is what the gospel is all about.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I forgot what I think possibly happened with Max Lucado is whoever owns the publishing company.
You're right.
Came to him and said, buddy, your books are all going to be gone.
Yeah.
And we have, and we're connected with ABC, CBS. We'll have you so embarrassed you'll move to China. You'll move somewhere else. That's the, what's going on in America, guys, is corporation blackmail. The Indians, why should they change their name? Cleveland Indians. Okay. It's corporation blackmail.
Money.
What's happening with Washington Redskins? They did a survey. None of the Native Americans care.
They
what happened?
Change it to the Washington Rednecks. I'm all for that.
Amen. Yeah, but what's going on is corporate blackmail, and this is what the founding fathers warned against. You should see all the warnings the founding fathers gave our country, and if we could line them all up here right now in front, every single one of them would tell you, we told you so. We told you so. We told you what would happen if the Bible got removed. We told you what would happen if the corporations would take over. We told you what would happen if you didn't watch out for immigration, for what they did there. And there's a big story behind that that no one tells. Guys, that's what's all that's going on. And we just have to be in prayer for our country. All right? It's not about money. The next gospel track I want to work on is dealing with the Titanic, but it deals with money, the love of money. And I was reminded again today in my studies, book of Genesis, there came a time, guys, when money failed. And the people of Egypt could not even get a meal. Money failed. And all these rich people and all these people in the corporations are using money. And they are going to be broke someday. Their money is going to fail. And what it does, they're going to plummet into the bottom pits of hell. And it's going to be so sad. Life is not about money, guys.
I should just add to his point about heart surgery there. I venture to say that most sorts of injuries tend to require some sort of pain or discomfort in order to heal from them.
Yes. Yeah. Keep this in mind when we say love your enemies. Okay, if your next door neighbor is sick, and you have the ability to go ahead and go to the store for them to pick up their medicine. All right? Or if you know someone that needs groceries, it's okay to buy them groceries.
Yeah.
Not to be dependent, but I mean to help them out in a pinch. If you're a car mechanic and your next door neighbor has car problems and you're a Christian, well, help him fix the car.
Amen.
You know, those are the things, that's the good works that we're ordained to do according to Ephesians 2:10.
You know, the unsaved do good works. We had a neighbor come and clear out our driveway. He's
yeah.
a Christian.
Yeah.
So amen.
If he can do it, why can't we do it?
We ought to.
Oh, amen. Yeah. Just pray and ask the Lord for opportunities. And the best place to start, guys, is the house of God. The house of God is the best place to learn how to love one another. And as we love one another and we fellowship one with another, then we start thinking, how can we help out those in our communities? And there's a lot of things we haven't even done yet because we're just not quite thinking in those terms.
But Christians don't even go to church with that attitude, so it's not a shock that they don't do that out in life either, because we repeatedly say this, 10% of people do all the work in the church.
Yeah.
And that includes picking up after themselves. We have to, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but we have to pick up all kinds of cups and water bottles and wrappers,
yep,
and snot rags and everything after every service, because,
yeah,
people don't even pick up after themselves, let alone be looking around and thinking, what can I do for other people?
Yeah, Doug, you just volunteered. Great job.
When you were talking about doing mechanical work and stuff like that, I pick up a wrench and a pair of pliers, and you know, my wife calls 911. I'm going to get hurt.
Well, you do it within your ability.
Yeah.
Just you, we're don't.
No, but
we don't.
I understand.
Like, I think you do things that are within your
ability. You're right.
Yeah. But
I don't have a tractor, so I can't talk.
Yeah. But I would tell you this. Again, I was thinking this week, in almost every church Jill and I have been either a part of or have gone to visit, as soon as the last amen comes from the service, they scatter.
Yeah.
Gone.
Don't have that problem.
There is no fellowship.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is.
And they're not there for the fellowship.
We jokingly got Charlie a whip for Christmas. I need to get one here to get my out. Which is a good problem. I'm not complaining.
Hey, I've never seen a place like this.
But you know, Doug, joking, but that really is, there's a lot of damage done by good, well-intentioned people who try to help out and they don't have the skill to do what they're doing. They cause more trouble. So you do. I mean,
yeah.
I've seen people get really upset with a church because that church offered to help and they screwed everything up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, things do happen.
Yeah, you got to do it if you can do it right.
Yeah. Right, and then even when it does go bad, that's still where there's still something else that could be done. But the main thing is trying to do right, because even when you do right, I mean, look at all the good things Jesus did, and they still crucified him anyway. I always think once well of, I think the guy's name was Malchus. And that's the one that Peter chopped his ear off. And if you study sword play, Peter was not going for the ear. Peter was planning to split him down the middle. He was going for the middle of the skull. All right? So I imagine one of the angels of the Lord pushed the guy over. So he just got the ear.
Yeah. Well, Jesus probably would have put his head back together.
He would
have
just raised him back.
Yeah. That would have been a greater... But the Lord wasn't there for show. So he went ahead and reattached the ear.
What?
Those that have an ear, let them hear.
He had one.
Yeah, he's got one left.
If you don't take that for granted, okay. I'll just put the ear back on.
Let's take a look at Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, which we did a study on this a long time ago. But it's always good to be reminded from the Word of God why we should love our enemies. Romans 5, 8 through 10. Who's got that?
I do.
Okay, Doug.
God commanded his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by the blood, we shall be saved from wrath from
Through him.
For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Amen. Before we got saved, guys, we were the enemies.
Right.
Every one of us was enemies, one way or another. And what did God do? The gospel was presented. And when the gospel was presented at that point, the love of God was shared with us and from the person who shared with it, and we were reconciled. Reconciled to God.
2 minutes.
2 minute warning. Okay, let's go back to 13. Okay. Verse 9 also clarifies about what it means to love one another. 9 and 10 completes the thought. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Now, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Okay, if you notice in here, the Apostle Paul quotes the last five of the Ten Commandments. The last five. The way the Ten Commandments is divided up five and five. That's the way Scripture divides it up. And if you do that, you'll understand, your wisdom will grow if you understand that's the way it cuts up. The division matches the two commandments found in Matthew 22, verses 36 to 40, which we're all familiar with. The first five commandments is love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That's what Christ says is the greatest commandment is to love God. That's the first five commandments. The second five commandments is love one another. Amen. So when we talk about loving one another, don't commit adultery. Don't kill. All right. Don't covet. Don't lie. Don't steal. That is also love. And if you want to have a little more fun with Scripture on those five, somewhere in the Old Testament, I can't remember, but look, do a Bible study on abomination. Breaking those five is called abomination in God's Word. It's also called evil. And that takes you right up to the time the Antichrist shows up. And when he shows up, he's called what? Abomination. Amen. And what's confirmed? The covenant, the Ten Commandments, of which he's an abomination of. Yeah. So I think that covers everything. Last final thoughts. Love works no ill to his neighbor. And we would, again, remind you, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8 gives you what? Loving your neighbor. And then again, Romans 4, 15 reminds us that the law works wrath. And guys, it's going to work wrath wherever you go. And our job is to share the love of Christ one with another. All right, Doug, have a word of prayer for us, buddy.
Thank you, Lord, for this time. Pray that people take this to heart and go back and study it some more. It's good stuff, and we need to go back through it, because hearing it one time is kind of a shotgun thing of hearing it. Sometimes you have to go back and digest it and chew on it for a little while. But we thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can always go back and listen to it again, too. It's going to be up on fire.com.
Chew on it. Amen.
I don't understand a bit.